I am Matěj Skalický and this is Czech Radio News Podcast Vinohradská 12. For months I followed her fate, how she traveled to Russia to care for her sick mother, how she was arrested and how her detention kept being extended. And then one day the news came of a major prisoner exchange and her name was on the list. Journalist Alsu Kurmasheva. She could finally go home and hug her husband and daughters. And now she sits here in front of me. Alsu Kurmasheva is today's special guest on Vinohradská 12. It's Monday, November 11th. Dobrý den, díky, že jste...
Hi, Alsu. Thank you for joining us. I'm really glad to see you.
Děkuji moc, Matěj.
Thank you so much for having me, Matěj.
How are you feeling?
Cítím se v bezpečí, to je nejdůležitější pro mě a jsem na svobodě.
I feel safe. That's the most important thing for me. And I'm free, which is pretty much exactly what I feel. I'm free to wake up in the morning when I want to, or rather need to. I'm free to go out with anyone, anytime, and come back, close my door myself, open my door myself. And that really is very important. It makes sense. We usually don't think about it too much, but it's very important to me.
Na to nezastaví, nemyslí na to, ale pro mě je to hodně důležité.
Jaký byl návrat domů? How was your homecoming? How was the first meeting with your loved ones, with your family?
S vaší rodinou. Ten okamžik jsem vždycky představovala přesně. Jsem snila o tom několikrát.
I always imagined that moment in detail. I dreamt about it several times. I imagined that I would walk off the plane. My husband would hand me a white suitcase out of which I would take clean white clothes. Then he would take my hand, we would walk off together and we would never look back, never turn back. And then there would be my children waiting for me. The reality was very similar. The first time I dreamt it, it was in winter. And winter in Russia, especially this last winter, was brutal. It was minus 30. Our cell heaters didn't work for several days. I thought I was hallucinating because that winter, the word exchange or possible exchange wasn't even being used. And I couldn't imagine getting to freedom because the future was still quite sad for me. So the winter was very dark for me. But I had that dream several times and it kept me going, gave me hope and it was a happy moment.
Takže to byl šťastný okamžik.
Že jste měla, když se vám o tom zdálo.
So when you dreamt, it gave you energy, it gave you something to live for and then it actually happened. Was the reality the way you dreamt it?
Tak jak jste si to vysnila?
Bylo to krásný, bylo to tak, jak jsem si to představovala.
It was beautiful. It was just as I imagined and even more. I had absolutely no idea, of course, of what was going on in the world, in the free world, to help set me free. And now it's been 3 months that I've been free. I'm home and I still don't know all the details. That's why it's very important for me to meet all the people who worked for my liberation and to learn even more details about what happened. And it's very interesting.
Co mě zajímá, jak to probíhalo, a je to velmi zajímavý.
Když jste teď říkala,
you said things weren't looking very promising in the winter, that the prospects for your release, for your exchange were not good. When did you first become aware of the plan that it might happen?
Že k tomu možná dojde.
Na jaře.
In the spring, late March.
Ta komunikace s vyšetřovatelama trochu změnila.
Communication with the investigators changed a bit. They indicated to me that there might be an exchange. I knew that there were still prominent people, Americans, ahead of me, such as Evan Gershkovich, the journalist, and Paul Whelan. And I knew that they had been in custody for a long time and would probably have priority. There was only very little hope of an exchange. So we waited, and the investigators hinted at it. They said I would have to go through the trial first.
And they started treating you a little differently, you say?
A little better.
A little better.
The investigation was essentially over. They didn't have any more questions for me. I was in custody and I was waiting for something and nobody could tell me exactly what and when it was going to happen.
Ten den D vypadal jak?
What did D-Day look like? When it actually happened, you woke up in the morning and...
Byla jsem v Lefortovo, v Moskvě.
Ano.
Přivezli mi tam v
I was in Lefortovo in Moscow. They brought me there on Monday. Every person who is transferred from one detention facility to another in Russia has the right to a shower and a phone call to either a lawyer or family. I requested that, but they said not till Friday. So I asked what was going to happen on Friday. Someone from the prison service told me that they even didn't know what was going to happen, but definitely something good, so I would be able to call on Friday. It happened on Thursday, the 1st of August, so I was looking forward to Friday. I saved the last 100 pages of my book to read on Thursday. That was just part of my life in prison. I always had to have some plan that I could control. That was very important to me, so I saved those 100 pages.
It's important to have a little something to look forward to.
Exactly. So I was looking forward to finishing the book that I had with me. They brought me tea, black sweet tea, and that was all I had, and some porridge. Then I sat down to read at about 8 in the morning. And suddenly the prison service brought me my suitcase, my personal things. They gave me 15, maybe 20 minutes to change my clothes, to sign something that I had obtained my things and that I was leaving. Nobody answered my question about where I was going. They closed the door again and told me to be ready in 20 minutes. Those 20 minutes were awfully long. There is no clock. Nobody knows if it was 20 or 10 or 2 hours.
Nechala tam v celé skoro všechno, protože opravdu jsem si cítila a doufala, že to je ta chvíle, že už nic.
But I left almost everything there because I really hoped that was the moment that I wouldn't need anything else from the cell. All I took with me were my diaries, postcards and letters that I had received in prison in Kazan. Some medicines and that's all. So I left with a very small bag, got on the bus where the other liberated people already were.
I guess by then it was clear to you what was happening.
It was clear to me then, but I was in such a shock that I couldn't even speak. Evan Gershkovic was sitting behind me and I greeted him with my eyes, but we couldn't talk for a long time. We really couldn't talk until we got on the plane because everybody was in shock. So it was D-Day. It was raining heavily in Moscow, and of course I had a lot of emotions. I had all kinds of thoughts going through my head about my whole life. Even now as I'm talking to you, after so many months, I still get upset. I was leaving the country not the way I imagined. For over 20 years, I went there to visit my family, my mother, for my culture, my Tatar, my language. It's my country, it's where I grew up, and now suddenly, the country didn't want me.
On the other hand, I'm sorry to butt in, but that was actually a happy moment because of what you had been through, and you were probably very happy to leave those places. Že můžete ta místa opustit.
Ta byla ta další myšlenka, která samozřejmě byla silnější než.
That was the other thought, which of course was stronger than the first one, that I was so happy to be going back to my children, to my family, to my life, which really has always been the real and true one. So this was going through my mind until I got on the plane to Ankara, where we met the people from the American embassy who welcomed us in Ankara, and then we flew to America.
V Ankaře a pak už jsme letěli do Ameriky.
You talked about Kazan, you talked about Lefortovo prison in Moscow. Where was it worse?
Bylo špatně všude. To nezáleží na podmínkách.
It was bad everywhere. It doesn't depend on the conditions. For example, the food in Lefortovo is better than in Kazan. I think the showers are better in Lefortovo than in Kazan. I know for a fact from Evan that the library is better in Moscow than in Kazan, but that's not the point. Any detention in Russia robs people of their dignity. The psychological violence, because there never was any physical violence towards me, but the psychological violence is enormous.
Psychické násilí je obrovské.
Že vás ponižovali? Were you humiliated?
Ponižovali, ohrožovali mé děti, mou rodinu.
Humiliated, threatened. They threatened my children, my family. In general, and I don't know how it is in the Czech Republic, but in Russia, women in detention are controlled by fear. They don't have the same support from the free world, for example, that men have. Almost every man in detention in Kazan, from the minimal communication we had at times, has a wife, a girlfriend, at least a mother who supports him, waits for him. Women don't have that. The women who ended up in detention really have no one to look forward to, because most of them have children in the orphanage, they have problems with their family, with their mom, their dad. I saw so many fates, though not every woman suspected of a crime has to be charged. There are some cases where women do not necessarily end up in custody, if the court so decides. But I didn't really see it, and I didn't really talk to the women about it. There, each woman focuses on the particular thing she has now and today. I read Václav Havel's letters when I came back. It resonated with me a lot, especially the way he described the fate of each person in detention, that everybody is drinking their bucket of bitterness. Everybody has their own bucket, so they don't want someone else's bucket. So we really just talked about kids, about traveling, about food, and that's basically it.
Já jsem mluvil s vaším manželem, Pavlem Butorinem.
I talked to your husband, Pavel Butorin. He was here on Vinohradská 12. And we talked a lot about you, and I asked him if he had any contact with you, if he could talk to you, whether he could call you, whether you wrote to one another. And he told me at the time, which was a couple of months ago, that it was terribly complicated, that it was just writing and just through lawyers, and that you didn't have any direct contact, that they didn't even let you have a contact with your children. So how difficult was that? Jak náročné to bylo?
Bylo to hodně náročné, bylo to hodně nespravedlivé, protože
it was very difficult. It was very unfair because the other women had visitors. They were allowed phone calls at least once or twice a week. The investigators didn't allow me anything. The irony is that they kept me in detention because I'm an American and a journalist. But they treated me like a Russian citizen and even worse. Communication with the children was minimal. Sometimes I got these short letters through lawyers that they sent from Prague. My husband wrote to me briefly and nothing specific. No details about, say, interviews with you or other media, or even about the work he was doing to free me. I didn't know about it all, except that I was given these sentences that I sat on and thought about for a long time, like, Alsu, now I have hope. So I knew something had happened or that he had met someone that gave him hope. So my imagination was working so hard that I couldn't even imagine what it could mean.
Nemohla ani představit, co to může znamenat.
On to taky tak dělal asi i proto, protože
and he also did that because you were probably not the only one who read those letters from him, right? Because it was all censored.
Ano, procházelo to cenzurou.
Yes, it was censored. And I was getting letters from people all over the world. That was more important.
To bylo důležitější.
Even from the Czech Republic.
Z Česka dostala jsem desítky pohledů a dopisů z Česka.
Yes, from the Czech Republic. I got dozens of postcards and letters from the Czech Republic. One lady wrote to me, Dear Alsu, she wrote in Russian. She wrote, I thought I would never write in Russian again. I haven't used the language for 40 years, and I didn't want to, but your case was so strong that I decided to write it in Russian. And I am very grateful that Russian is not to blame for what happened to us, to people, to countries, to states in general, and I'm very grateful to her. Unfortunately, people didn't write their full names, so I can't even say exactly who they were, but I got postcards from Prague, from Beroun, from Moravia. And there is a beautiful organization in Prague which does so much meaningful work. It's called Grandmothers Without Borders. I got several postcards from them. One lady was at a Czech Philharmonic concert. She sent me a postcard from the Czech Philharmonic and wrote out the whole program. And I have a music education, and I've been to the Czech Philharmonic many times. I've even played there quite a bit with the orchestra. I play the cello. So for me, that one sentence in that postcard,
that was the whole concert.
I had a whole concert via that postcard in a Russian prison. It was so beautiful. The whole cell was looking at me and saying, well, Alsu's drifted off somewhere again and she doesn't want to talk to us. And really, I always created those moments where I wasn't there. But I was at a Czech Philharmonic. I was in Prague. I was in Šumava. My friend sent me a beautiful postcard from Šumava because they know how I love it there. So I'm very, very grateful to everybody who was involved. After I was released, I also sent dozens of letters to people who are still in Russian detention.
Alsa Also, vysvětlil vám někdy někdo?
Also, has anyone ever explained to you why they detained you in the autumn of 2023?
Not from the Russian side.
Nikdo,
no one ever told you why you were there, why they were hauling you against your will.
Ptala jsem se několikrát.
I asked several times. No, nobody told me. Only we here in the free world can answer that question.
Moreover, you didn't go to Russia to work. You didn't go there as a journalist.
Já jsem nikdy nejela do Ruska pracovně.
I never went to Russia to work. My work has always been in Prague. So no, Matěj, no one answered my question. By staying at home with my mother for 5 months and waiting,
which is exactly why you went to Russia.
Yes, I went to see my sick mother. Then I was detained at the airport, and by not registering my US passport and waiting 5 months for what should have been a simple investigation, we now know that they wanted that time to produce another...
To find something on you, some fake evidence.
To find more fake evidence against me.
To znamená, nejdřív vám sebrali doklady.
So they took your ID first, and then a few months later, they just detained you. And from then, you were in a jail for several months.
To, co se stalo, bylo těžké, bylo to ošklivé, ale to taky...
What happened was difficult, it was ugly. But it also showed us exactly the values of Russia now. And I'm not saying the people, but the values of the government in Russia, which are completely different from our values here in the free world, in Europe and in America. The world should know that and behave accordingly toward Russia and other countries where freedom of the press is under threat.
Je ohrožováno tak, jak se mají chovat.
Já už teď vím, že teprve na jaře.
Until the spring, you didn't feel any hope about your possible release. What thoughts were running through your mind during the months prior in prison? I can imagine that one might think they will never get out.
Přemýšlím nad tím, že se třeba už nikdy nemusím z té věznice dostat.
Nejhorší byl první měsíc, nejdelší vyšetřování, ještě jsem vůbec nemohla pochopit.
The first month was the worst, the longest interrogations. I still didn't understand what was going on. And every day, when the door, the metal door, opened, I was sure that there would be someone who would say, Alsuku Marševa, this was a mistake, goodbye. Maybe I really was naive, but on December 1st, I was in the first court where they extended my detention until February. On that day, the lawyer told me in the courtroom that the Memorial organization, I'm sure you know them, the biggest human rights organization, they are here in the Czech Republic now. He told me that they designated me as a political prisoner. And I knew what that meant, that it was a key designation, that it was very important. And I understood that I was going to be in detention for a while.
Jsem pochopila, že v té vazbě nějakou dobu ještě budu. Zima byla velmi krutá, jak jsem říkala, jsem byla několikrát nemocná.
The winter was very harsh, as I said. I was sick several times, we didn't have many meds. Fortunately, I had garlic and lemon carefully packed by my mother. It took a long time, but I got over the flu. I have always thought that everything has a beginning and an end. In our Tatar language, we say, let the end be a good one. Let it be good for everyone and for me. God will show the right way. And another thing that helped me a lot was the idea we use in Tatar a lot, that God doesn't give more than one can take. So I thought, here I am, here I will be for a while, here I will endure. Because I have somebody to look forward to and something to look forward to.
You said your mother packed or sent you lemon and garlic for the sickness.
Yes, she did.
And did you write to each other?
We wrote letters to each other by mail, regular mail. It took 3 or 4 days, but we communicated, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And are you in touch with your mom now?
Yes, of course.
How is she doing?
Ona je velmi šťastná, že jsem na svobodě. Samozřejmě moc jí chybím fyzicky.
She's very happy that I'm free. Of course, she misses me very much and she'll miss me. But my mother and I have a very precious, warm relationship. We've always supported each other all our lives, and we will continue to support each other. No matter if we're together physically now or not, we will always be together.
And sorry, this is a very personal question, but does that mean you're not considering seeing each other in person now?
I don't want to go there now. Nobody has banned me from Russia. They've returned my Russian passport. I've been specifically told I'm not banned, but I wouldn't want to go there now.
Ale teď bych tam nechtěla.
Dokázala jste se teda z té zkušenosti?
I know you said that you are still very much reliving the experience, and of course the memories are very vivid and crushing, but have you been able to move on a bit since you've been free? Do you feel you have processed the experience somewhat?
Cítíte, že tu zkušenost zpracováváte nějak?
Ano, už jsem se posunula docela hodně.
Yes, I moved on quite a lot. Now I'm thinking about what I can do next and how I can use my experience. I'm currently working to support the families of other journalists who are in detention at a Radio Free Europe journalist. There are four right now. Ihar Losik and Andrei Kuznecik are in detention in Belarus. We have had no communication with Ihar for 4 years. We don't even know if he's healthy, what kind of help he needs. That is very complicated. Vlad Yesipenko is in Crimea. He hasn't seen his family and his young daughter for 3 months. Then there is a colleague in Azerbaijan. His little girl was born and he hasn't seen her yet. He's been in detention in Azerbaijan since May. I know exactly what these families are going through. I know exactly that they wake up every morning and their only thought is, what else can they do for their loved one? So given the experience I had, I'm trying to help them.
Napravit, abych jim pomohla.
Dobře. Also, musíte mi říct.
Also, you have to tell me, and I am sure you've thought about this. Will it ever fully heal? Is it possible to just close the door on what happened and move on? To never think about it again?
A už na to třeba nikdy nemyslet.
Myslím, že ne. Ani nechci na to zapomenout.
I don't think so. I don't even want to forget it. Rather, I want to build my life and my work on what happened to me, build a very strong foundation. It certainly made us stronger. It made me stronger as a professional. It made me stronger as a journalist. It made our family stronger. It made Radio Free Europe stronger. That's what I hear from my colleagues. That's not just my idea. So we want to use what happened to me, take it further and work with it.
To, co se stalo se mnou, vzít dál a pracovat s tím.
Často je lepší o těch věcech mluvit.
It's always or often better to talk about things, not just for you as a person, therapeutically, but for others who it can help.
Já se zaměřím na té pozitivní stránce, že jsem svobodná, jsem zdravá, relativně zdravá, sedím před váma.
I'm going to focus on the positive aspects of being free, being healthy, relatively healthy, sitting in front of you, talking openly about it, and like I said, I'm open to talking to anyone about it. It's not a secret, and I think that's our strength here in the free world. Just talking, communicating, not closing doors, not destroying bridges, but building, building, and talking. It's important and it's a strength. It's a certainty that we can look forward to.
Je to síla, je to jistota, na kterou se těšíme.
Moc rád jsem vás viděl, moc rád vás.
It was very good to see you. Very good to see you here and thank you very much for coming.
Děkuji moc a ještě chci využít tady chvíli.
Thank you so much. And I want to take this opportunity to thank everybody who's listening to me right now. If you'd like to message me, you can find me on LinkedIn and on Twitter or X, whatever it's called now. I need to learn this new vocabulary. Communication is important. I am really grateful for everything you have done for me here in the Czech Republic, for me and my family. Thank you so much.
Udělali pro mě a pro moji rodinu a děkuji moc.
And that's all for today. I spoke with Alsu Kurmaševa, a journalist with Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Thank you for listening.